The sounds of the Bayside, 88.3 Southern FM.
And now we have the space show. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this week's The Space Show, we note the death of former astronaut Tom Stafford. And coming up now is Space Show News. Former astronaut General Thomas Stafford has died at the age of 93. Tom Stafford was the veteran of four space missions totaling 21 days in space. They were Gemini 6, Gemini 9, Apollo 10, and Apollo Soyuz. Now, if you want to be pedantic, the two Gemini missions were officially called Gemini 6A and Gemini 9A, because they were changed from the originally planned missions. The 1965 Gemini 6 mission was planned to dock with the Gemini Agena target vehicle 5002, but the Atlas launch vehicle exploded during launch.
Good evening. From the Voice of America in Washington, we bring you to Europe. But first, here's the latest news reported by Bob White.
A complicated double launching aimed at locking two spacecraft during flight failed to come off today when an Agena satellite, heading into orbit first, apparently fell into the Atlantic soon after liftoff. The failure washed out the launching of a Gemini 6 spaceship with astronauts Walter Schirra and Thomas Stafford aboard. This will postpone the Gemini 6 flight until early next year. However, a two-man Gemini 7 spacecraft is being prepared for a 12 or 14-day Earth orbit either next month or in December, despite the failure of today's Gemini 6 experiment. It had been intended to have the Gemini 6 maneuver toward the Agena during its fourth orbit and then lock its nose onto the Agena. Four such dockings had been planned. The Agena was launched from Cape Kennedy, Florida. Gemini was due to go up from the same launching base.
The mission was replanned for a rendezvous with the Gemini 7 spacecraft. A reporter wanted to know whether rendezvous without docking was worthwhile.
Apparently, it was originally thought that you needed six rendezvous and docking flights, and now you're only going to need five. Is there an explanation for that?
Jim, the program that we have envisioned, of course, involves a number of rendezvous operations, and part of it is under consideration that it's entirely possible that all of them would not be completely successful. So there is redundancy in the program, in the six rendezvous flights. Now, on this particular flight, of course, we will not dock, but we will conduct an actual rendezvous. And what I mean by that is that we will be able to demonstrate a launch within the window should this be a successful operation. we will be able to demonstrate the mid-course maneuvering that's involved in getting in close proximity to the vehicle. We'll be able to initiate the terminal phase of the operation using the same equipments that were envisioned for the Gemini Agena operation. We will be able to brake in close proximity to the other vehicle and, if desired, even demonstrate going into docking proximity. That will, of course, conclude this. Well, this represents a very substantial part of a rendezvous demonstration, and being able to do this in the present climate considerably earlier than we could before, I think is an extremely worthwhile mission.
The voice there of Tom Stafford. With fellow astronaut Wally Schirra, Stafford held their cool when the engine of their Titan II launch vehicle ignited and promptly shut down.
T-minus 15 seconds and counting.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
We've got a shutdown.
No,
the engine
tank
shut down.
Oh, no.
Big puff of smoke out there on the launch pad, but as you heard, they shut down the engine.
No pressure is blowing while it's drawing.
Apparently, it's safe conditions. There is nothing wrong. The launch pad is not blowing, but the moon and grid is still sitting there. The engines have shut down. Let's listen to the voice of Paul Nemo.
Watching the fuel pressure lower very carefully. Oxygen has a pressure going nicely. Blackout is asking for a readout on all tank pressures.
Unexpected seems here at Kennedy. Everything was moving so smoothly right to the final second to this zero in the countdown.
WFC is putting in a call to 7 to advise them that we will not have a liftoff.
Now 100
seconds. Roger, we saw it.
Three days later, they successfully launched and made a rendezvous with Gemini 7. After the mission, Stafford described the world's first orbital rendezvous.
Well, I finally got one glance out of the window at approximately 13 miles. And then later on, after we finished with the computer and we were making our own final corrections up there, I would get more glances out, and this time I could see the docking light, and it was overshadowing the two blue strobe lights that were flashing. It was a very beautiful sight, and the stars were up there. And naturally, I was not as quite as dark adapted as Wally was at this time, since I was in and out of the cockpit making the plots. But it was a real great feeling after about nearly a year's work to suddenly see our gold coming in this close and reading out the range of 2 miles decreasing. And then particularly at the end, the lighting condition is what we'd planned on all along, where we would actually swing out and pass a terminator and have the sun behind us, and we could see that this reflected sunlight would be on the white adapter of spacecraft 7. And it was really a beautiful sight to see how it grew as a half moon coming towards us. And then I was back in the cockpit calling ranges and theta, so I really, my view of it was very short, and Wally can probably give you the best view of it.
6 months later, Tom Stafford was again atop a Titan II rocket in the Gemini 9 capsule. Again, plans changed when their Agena target vehicle 5004 failed to reach orbit. A fortnight later, a substitute target docking adapter was launched. The Gemini mission was now renamed Gemini 9A and was scheduled for later that same day, 1966, June the 1st. But at T-minus 3 minutes, the ground computers lost contact with the Gemini computers, so the launch was scrubbed. Workers at the Cape jokingly referred to Stafford as Mayor of Plaid 19, given his record of scrubs on Gemini 6 and now Gemini 9. Now, afterwards, Tom Stafford made this comment about his launch attempts.
Well, to start with, we'd like to go back to the day when we attempted to launch with the Atlas at Gina. It failed, and Gina and I came back down the elevator. And it seemed to me that we really got used to going up and down the east elevator of Pad 19. We got back to Houston the next day and sat down with the group headed by Chris Kraft, and we wanted to achieve all the major objectives that we could of the original flight plan. This would include three rendezvous. We thought that this was very important to have the three rendezvous and to feed over into the latter Gemini flights and also the Apollo flights. So within about 2 days, we had made the analysis, came up with the trajectories, and it was, believe me, a great teamwork effort on part of all the people in NASA to achieve the new flight plan and trajectories in this period of time. And then we attempted to launch with the ATDA, the target docking adapter. As you know, we did not get a computer update, and it was a very sensitive nature of doing a rendezvous at third apogee. This was required. So Gene and I came back down the elevator again that day.
Our model at this point, and harder, and we tried harder, and this sort of carried on through our third launch.
You know, I think Gene was starting to think that I was jinxed. A long time ago, Wally Schirra and I went up and down the elevator a few times, and then after I'd been up and down the elevator with Gene, I finally decided what it was. It was Wally that was jinxed, and Gene that was jinxed, and I wasn't the jinx at all.
Well, Gemini 9 eventually launched on June the 3rd.
After the target docking adapter got launched, we knew that there might be some trouble with the shroud, so the day before we actually launched, Gene and I went down to the hangar where they had Gemini 10's shroud in assembly, and we went over every piece of this shroud with a fine-tooth comb, had about a two-hour technical debriefing, so we knew every piece in there and knew what to expect once we got in flight. And finally, Friday morning, we got up the elevator again. Again, we got no DCS update, which upgraded our computer for launch, but by then we decided we might as well get out of town for the weekend, and we left rather suddenly there on Friday morning. From this point on, we completed the rendezvous as was prescribed. As you know, the Titan put us into an orbit below the docking adapter and about 650 miles behind it. And through a series of maneuvers that were calculated by a Mission Control Center in Houston, we completed the first rendezvous. Well, we finally made the real critical maneuver on a rendezvous, which is called the transfer maneuver, and we continued on. This was also the first rendezvous where we did a complete braking at night. We made the critical maneuver off the coast of Brazil, and a third of the way around the world, we completed the maneuver, and we came up to it just past Australia and past midnight.
The voice of Tom Stafford describing his Gemini 9 mission. In 1969, Stafford flew the lunar module Snoopy down to within 14.4 kilometres of the lunar surface during the Apollo 10 mission, paving the way for the Apollo 11 lunar landing mission 2 months later. In 1972, Tom Stafford was promoted to the rank of Brigadier General and soon after named to command the Apollo-Soyuz test project. That was flown in 1975 and docked with the Soviet Union's Soyuz 19 spacecraft. Well, Stafford retired from the Air Force in 1979 and served on several corporate boards and a NASA committee. He advised on the Shuttle Mir missions. So it's sad to report that he has died of liver cancer on March the 18th at a care home located appropriately at Satellite Beach, Florida. Now, to the best of our knowledge here at the Space Show, there has only been one song referencing Tom Stafford. It is the 1990 song Space by the New Model Army. Now, the song has a quote from Stafford sung by a female vocalist. Because it's not always easy to follow the song's lyrics, I will read the relevant quote. "The white twisted clouds and the endless shades of blue in the ocean make the hum of the spacecraft systems, the radio chatter, even your own breathing disappear. There is no cold or wind or smell to tell you that you are connected to Earth. You have an almost dispassionate platform, remote, Olympian, and yet so moving that you can hardly believe how emotionally attached you are to those rough patterns shifting steadily below." So, dear listener, remember to listen out for the female voice as we listen to New Model Army with their 1990 song, Space. That was the New Model Army from 1990 with their song Space, referencing their, well, quoting Tom Stafford, who has sadly died. This is The Space Show.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.